How many of you have a difficult time slowing your mind? You know, you have a difficult time slowing down your mind. Some of you didn't hear that question because your mind is somewhere else, even right now. And I can relate to that. To be real honest with you, my mind seems to race almost all the time. I can be in a conversation, and I hate to say this out loud, but I can be in a conversation with someone with my eyes locked on their eyes, apparently listening to every word they're saying and not hearing a single word that they said. I do that with Steph all the time, but somehow I have a supernatural ability when she says, "Were you listening?" Even if I wasn't, I can recall the last thing she said and I repeat it back to her. It's a built-in system that God gave men for self-defense, but it never works. She sees right through it. I repeat it back and she says, you know, "Don't do that. I know you weren't listening." Okay. In the daytime, my mind is kind of all over the place. At night, I'll get in bed and my mind will often race with all that I have to do. The Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, actually calls this anxious striving. That might describe some of you, anxious striving. In fact, I'm going to show you where this is from in Ecclesiastes 2. This is what Scripture said. What do people get for all their toil and anxious striving with which they labor under the sun? All their days, their work is grief and pain, even at night. Watch this. Even at night, their minds do not rest. We're in a message series called Habits of a Healthy Heart. And we talked about in the first week, if you want to change your life, change your habits. But if you want to change your habits, you need to let God change your heart. So, in the first week, we talked about the habit of self-examination. Last week, we talked about the habit of simplifying. Next week, we're going to talk about the habit of godly sorrow. Today, I want to talk to you about the spiritual habit of slowing your mind, getting to the place of solitude before God. The title of today's message is When Your Mind Won't Stop. When Your Mind Won't Stop. Let's talk about Jesus. He's a good one to talk about at church, right? Let's talk about Jesus. We think about Jesus. Do you think that he would have had much on his mind? A lot, right? I mean, first of all, the whole assignment, if you can't sin, that would take some effort. I figure I could probably last about 10, maybe 12 minutes before I'm like envious of something. I mean, just don't sin. That's a lot on your mind. And then when you think about what he had to do, in only 3 years, he had to recruit his 12 disciples, a bunch of ragtag, know-nothing people, teach them the values of the kingdom of God. This is what the kingdom of God is like. Prepare them to carry the message all over the world while healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the temple, sowing the love of the Father to everyone that he sees, enduring the persecution of the Pharisees, fulfilling every letter of the law, giving his life, the Lamb of God, as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. And oh yeah, 3 days later, coming back to defeat death, hell, and the grave when the stone was rolled away and Christ was risen from the dead. Do you think Jesus had anything on his mind? There's no bigger assignment in the history of the world to do the will of God as the Son of God. How did Jesus do it? Well, a big part of the spiritual ingredient of his spiritual success was that Jesus consistently and intentionally created the space to hear from heaven and to spend time with his heavenly Father. He consistently and intentionally disconnected from the crowd, drowned out all the noise of society, silenced and pulled away from all the distractions of this world. Why? Because there's no such thing as intimacy without intentionality. You'll never see intimacy in any relationship without intentionality. You won't see it in your marriage. If you just let the whole world just kind of happen to your schedule, you'll never have a really close marriage without intentionally working on building a relationship with trust and time together. Intimacy. The same is true in our parenting or friendships. If you don't spend time with your children and get on their level and listen, without intentionality, you will never ever have intimacy. And in the world, we get so busy and our minds go so fast, and I need to remind somebody that you can never busy your way to God. You'll never busy your way to Him. And I can promise you, I've never met anyone who's really close to God, anyone who displays the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, anyone who's led by the Spirit consistently and not by the flesh. I've never met anyone close to God and intimate with God who didn't spend time with God. Over and over and over again in the Gospels, we see Jesus withdraw from the crowd, pull away from the demands, distance himself from all the expectations of people, and go to a secluded place to slow down in solitude and silence, to pause, to talk to his Father, to listen to his Father, and to hear his Father's voice. We see it over and over and over again. Mark 1, we see this. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and he left the house. The disciples were in the house, and he didn't stay in the house. He left where he was to go off to a quiet place. He went to a solitary place where he prayed. Scripture says, Simon and his companions went to look for him. Have you noticed? Anytime you go try to get alone with God, somebody's going to try to interrupt you. That's just the way it goes. Simon went to look for him. And when they found him, they explained, everyone is looking for you. Those of you who are parents, you can probably relate. Steph used to say, the only place I could go to be alone was the bathroom. And 30 seconds later, there would be fingers under the bathroom door, right? And what do you do in your life today? You're a student. You're a teenager. You're a parent. You're a spouse. You're a leader. What do? You give out and give out and give out and give out. You pour out and you pour out and you pour out and you pour out. How does your day look? You get out of bed and you start to get ready in the morning. And you get your kids ready for school. And your kids fight. And you try to get them to stop fighting. And then you fight traffic. and you try to pay attention in your class or in your meeting, and then you deal with an annoying coworker, and then you try to do your best at your job, and then you go try to pick up your kids after school, even though it's not really time to leave work, and then you take them to soccer or dance, and you got bills to pay, yard to mow, and you got to serve. Oh, you got to look perfect, and you better post about it, because you got to show everybody your life is wonderful. And then do you wonder why your cup is empty? And what's interesting is Scripture said that Jesus came to give us the abundant life and life to the full. And your schedule's full, but your spiritual cup is empty. And many of you are saying right now, if you haven't said it out loud, you feel it on the inside, I don't have any more to give. You're exhausted. You're spiritually depleted. Why do you not have any more to give? Because you can't give what you don't have. And that's why Jesus, the Son of God, with the most important assignment in the history of the world, he modeled consistently and intentionally pausing, creating the space. And Jesus withdrew. I'll show you just five verses. You can look these up sometime. Jesus withdrew before starting his ministry. Before he went to do the will of God, he took 40 days. 40 days to go seek God's heart. He would withdraw before making important decisions. Before I'm going to decide what to do next, I'm going to go and listen to the voice of the Father, so his word would direct my steps. Jesus would withdraw after a long, hard day of work, before something, and then after something. I'm going to go and refill again. He would withdraw after ministering to lots of people. And Jesus would withdraw after losing a close friend to go and grieve before the Father and be renewed before the Father. Jesus consistently and intentionally modeled for us, pausing, creating a space, withdrawing to get in the presence of God. Why do we need to withdraw? Because you can't continue to pour out if you don't fill up. And this is where many of you are today, pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring without the word of the Lord filling you. The presence of the God, his Spirit sustaining you, the strength of his Spirit carrying you when you're weak and at the end of your own strength. Your value is based on what you produce. Your value is based on what you accomplish. Your value is based on how you perform. Your value is based on how much you give. Scared to death to slow down, to rest, to recover. And the bottom line is we are terrified to be still, which is a really big problem when that is the prerequisite to knowing God. Because Psalm 46 says this, "Be still and know that I'm God. Not hope, not pray, not want, not wish, but know the goodness of God. Be still." You can't busy your way to God. Scripture doesn't say be busy and know God intimately. Doesn't even say be responsible or be disciplined and know God. Or be successful and know God, but be still and know that he is God. In the Hebrew language, be still, this actually translates to cease striving. Or remember anxious striving we talked about earlier? It literally means to stop your anxious striving. I want you to think about Jesus again. Why was he valuable? When was he valuable to God? When Jesus was baptized. Do you remember how many miracles he had done before he was baptized? The answer is zero. Jesus hadn't done any works before his baptism. He hadn't done any formal ministry. And in Luke 3:22, what happens? Before Jesus earned his spiritual keep, a voice from heaven, his Father, said, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I'm well pleased." Jesus hadn't done a single miracle. He hadn't healed tonsillitis, much less raised the dead. And his Father says, "I'm proud of you. I love you." Jesus hadn't taught anyone. He hadn't preached a single sermon. And God loved him for who he was, not what he did. For who he was. In the very same way that our Father loves you, not for what you produced, not for what you get done, not for how well you perform, but for who you are. And the Father said, "I love you. I'm proud of you." And so what did Jesus do next? Let me tell you what he doesn't do. If you look at the text very carefully, he didn't go out and pour out. The Father said, "I love you. I'm well pleased." The very next thing in the text that Jesus did was he went and he filled up first. He didn't rush off to do a miracle. He didn't go give his first sermon. He slowed down and he spent time with his Father. Not just a 10-minute quick devotion in the morning to make sure you're a good Christian, because you're not a Christian unless you do your Bible time. But he spent 40 days and 40 nights. Scripture says this right after his baptism. Luke 4 says this: "Full of the Holy Spirit, he left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, spending time alone with the Father." Why? Because there's no such thing as intimacy without intentionality. He intentionally sought the presence of his Father. So, how do we do that? Because I know you're as busy as I am. Well, I want to talk to you about the habit of slowing, or the habit of solitude. What does this look like? Well, in a devotional version of the Bible, Matthew 6:6 tells us to do this. Jesus says this. The words of Jesus, he says, "Here's what I want you to do. If you want to be intimate with God, you're going to have to be intentional about your time with God." Jesus says, "Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God." I like that. So you're not going to be tempted to go, "Hey, God, look, I'm here. I'm doing my Bible study. Oh, wait, let me get the perfect Instagram picture, hashtag blessed. This is me and my devotion and my coffee. Oh, tell me how holy I am. Bless you. You're so holy." Okay? Find a secluded place and just be there. Watch this. As simply and honestly as you can manage. Find a secluded place. Get away from all the noise and just be honest with God in his presence. And here's what's going to happen. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will sense his grace. The focus will shift from me, "I can't do it, I can't handle it, this is going to kill me," to God, "He is good, his presence is with me, he'll never leave me, He'll never forsake me. When you get alone with Him, the focus shifts from you to God. How do you experience that? It's not going to happen by accident. You're not going to just suddenly, just by sitting there and go, oh, well, I just got an hour free time, and oh, I think I'll just be in the presence of God. What you have to do is intentionally press pause. Stop everything, because it's not stopping for you unless you choose to stop for it. Get alone. I'm going to tell you right now, no text. This isn't, you know, in the Bible, but no text. Put your phone away. No social media. No little voices, you know, saying, wipe me, wipe me, wipe me. Get alone, okay? And let me tell you, this is not isolation. This is solitude. There's a difference. Isolation is when you run from others and you hide from others and you feel sorry for yourself. You might even self-medicate. This is solitude. Solitude is consistent, intentional, deliberately pausing and stopping, where your sole purpose is hearing from heaven, time with your Father, letting His living Word nourish your soul, letting the quiet voice of His Holy Spirit speak to you and convict you and comfort you and challenge you and love you and direct your steps. And it's only a result of intentionality, because there's no such thing as intimacy without intentionality. And I just want to promise you, this will not happen without you planning for it. And so, what do? Kind of like what the text says. I would suggest that you find a place and a time. A place could be like kneeling by your bed. Place could be on your back porch. Place could be at your kitchen table with your favorite He Brews coffee. He Brews. It's a New Testament book in the Bible. It could be first thing in the morning before the day gets started. It could be at the end of the day. It could be on a longer lunch break. I would suggest you find a time, you find a place. I would suggest you work for consistency. It doesn't mean you can do it every day, but you're going to work your very, very best. This is my time. This is my place. It's a mini pause. It's a break. It's a spiritual retreat. That may only be a few minutes a day, but it's every day. And what are you going to do? You do a lot of things. I'm going to give you some suggestions. But at the heart of it, you're going to be still. And at some point, yes, you're going to read God's Word. And yes, you're going to talk to Him. But at some point, you want to be just silent before Him in solitude. And when you're quiet, just let your soul talk honestly to God. No role play. Just let what's in your soul talk to God, and you'd be surprised at what your soul wants to say to God. Don't force it. Just let your soul talk to Him. Cry out to Him. Maybe even shout at Him. And it may take time, but if you spend time in His presence, your soul will say what it's been desperate to say. Your soul may say, I'm afraid. I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to pay the bills. Afraid my marriage isn't going to last. I'm afraid for my teenager. I can't believe. I don't even know what to do. Your soul may say, I'm hurting. I feel alone. Your soul may say, God, I'm crying out to you, but I don't even know where you are. Let your soul cry out to Him. Your soul may say, I'm sorry, God. I've neglected you. I've neglected my first love. You may say, God, I'm ashamed of what I've done. I'm ashamed that I haven't prioritized you. I'm ashamed that I've got caught up in sin. I'm ashamed that I've fallen back in love with this world and stopped loving your kingdom. Your soul might say, I'm mad at you, God. I asked you to do it, and you didn't, and you're mad. God can handle your anger, I promise you. Rather, you run to him mad than run away from it. Cry out to him. Cry out to him. Some of you might say, I need you, God. I need you now more than I ever have. I need more of you, God. I need more of you. I need more. I need more. Finally, the focus is getting off of you and coming back to me. It's got to be a habit of slowing, a habit of solitude. It's got to be a habit. If you do not intentionally seek it, this world will squeeze it out of you. And you'll never get it. And you'll never be close to God without intentional time with God. It's the habit of slowing, the habit of solitude, whichever one you want. They both begin with S. I couldn't decide, so you decide. Because you can't continue. I'm here for you. I got it down. I'm going to do it all. I'm going to do it all. I can get it all done. I can get it all. You can't continue to pour out unless in the presence of God you fill up. And what many of you are going to say is, I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time. Let me just promise you right now, you always have time for what you choose to have time for. Period. No excuses. You have time for what you choose to have time for. No excuses. You can make excuses or you can know God intimately. But you can't do both. Jesus consistently, intentionally disconnected from the crowd. He drowned out all of the distraction, silenced all the never-ending noise. And he looked up to heaven. Didn't just talk, but listened. Because there's no such thing as intimacy without intentionality. You cannot busy your way to God. You can't continue to pour out if you don't fill up. And so be still. The habit. Not every now and then. The habit of slowing your mind. Going to God. Be still. He says, and know that I am God. And when the focus shifts off of you back onto him, you'll realize he's always enough. Let us pray. So, Father, today we slow our minds, taking a moment to be still in your presence. And, Father, we thank you in advance for what you're going to do for us, what we're going to experience, your grace, your goodness, your kingdom, your gentleness, your love and conviction. You're going to direct our steps. We're going to hear from heaven. And God, we thank you for what you're going to say to us and what you're going to do in us and what you're going to do through us as we slow down to enjoy your goodness. To be still and know who you are, your God, Supreme King, Ruler, Lord, Savior. You're the rock, our redemption, the soon returning King of all kings. Father, we ask that by the power of your Spirit, that you'll slow our minds, that we could be still before you and be transformed by you. We pray this in the name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen.